A word of warning. What follows includes harrowing testimony and graphic descriptions of human rights violations.
The Truth and Reconciliation Commission has taken a bold step in its final report by acknowledging some of its own failings and shortcomings. The Truth Commission admits that it failed to call certain key actors, especially IFP leader Mangosuthu Buthelezi. It failed to make significant inroads into the post-1990 violence. It also failed to establish the complicity of local governments, universities, state-funded research bodies, and former homelands like Venda, Leboa, and Buputatswana. The Truth Commission says its investigations into military intelligence and special forces were conducted too late for adequate follow-up. But it was also severely restricted from accessing military archives and classified records with the creation of the Defense Force Nodal Point. The Truth Commissioners shared some of these and other feelings of failure and regret with Angie Kapelianis.
I think a failure was the inability to get the IFP in Carter to participate in this commission.
Richard Lister.
The commission did, I think, everything possible, way and beyond the call of duty, to get the IFP to participate. And when one looks at the sort of evidence that we heard in KwaZulu-Natal, it pointed directly to very, very high level collusion between the IFP and the most sinister aspects of our security forces.
It was at about 2 o'clock, and I went into the toilet.
Gertrude Mbambo.
I heard a loud noise sounding like a machine gun. I cried and I went into the children's bedroom. We were afraid even to peep through the window. We hid ourselves underneath the bed and we kept quiet. When I got out, I found many children lying dead on the ground. Their brains were scattered. I didn't know what happened because they were dead.
I think if one understands that evidence, then it becomes easier to understand why the IFP was reluctant to participate.
But a party, the IFP, cannot be in the dark.
Zibajiani.
Because that's what it has been all along. It's been accused worldwide. It is still being accused by the government of the day. It is treated as the villain. For us to go to a...
And yet, we needed them to participate. There's no doubt that many, many of their people suffered. The most awful things were done to them. And they were not able to come forth. So we're going to have a somewhat skewed picture at the end of the day. We're also going to have anger and resentment. If the government does hand out compensation to victims of human rights violations, the fact that IFP people won't qualify for reparation is going to be used by the IFP as evidence that this commission is biased against them. It can have repercussions on the ground.
Oh, I'm very full of a sense of the things that we should have done better at the moment as we come to the last stages of the process.
Mary Burton.
Firstly, for every single victim, I'm sorry that we weren't able to do more, to offer more personal care and counselling, to investigate their stories.
He couldn't speak. Some of the bullets were still inside.
Nokiki Gwedla.
It's all right, Mama. You don't have to be worried. We understand that you have to go through this pain again.
Pumla Gobodo Madikizela.
If you want us to wait, Mama, yes, we will.
To investigate their stories in greater depth, to give more prominence to their stories, because they're going to be very condensed in the final report. So although I realize it's impractical, I still have a sense of wishing that there was more we could do.
I wish that the commission can take care of the future of my children, which is something that I cannot do at the moment.
Luca Sikwepere.
They are still going to school, but they don't even have enough clothes. They are struggling. Their mother is not working, and I'm only depending on the pension. That's the only thing that I wish for.
The greatest failure for me has been the fact that the victims have got nothing.
Desmond Tutu.
We started in 1996. 2 and a bit years later, none of the victims has received anything officially. Nothing. That, I think, is something that we would have wished for it to be different. I think we would, all of us, say that that is the greatest weakness of our commission.
Without a doubt, I think we have let down the mass of victims who have come to us. I think we've been very slow, painfully slow.
Alex Bourain.
Some of it was determined by the Act itself, which made it clear that we couldn't impose on victims what they wanted and what they needed and so on, so we had to hear them. But when I think of the amnesty process, which allows people to walk free if they're granted amnesty, and the victim, who may have been involved in that very action by the perpetrator, is still waiting for some material response from the commission, then I think the act was skewed, and I think we could have made better use of the time and the energy and the resources we've had, and I think we've failed quite dismally there.
I really have a very big wish, a tombstone.
Tony Lillian Mzwai.
I want to see his tombstone, because I didn't see him when he was put into the grave, because he also wanted big things for me. He used to call me old lady, and he said, old lady, when I complete my studies, you will never struggle anymore. You will sit down, you will relax.
We started running on day one, and I should think there are things we could have done differently.
Klingiwe Mkize.
For instance, we could have realized how delicate the whole issue of revisiting the past in a country which is young in terms of its democracy is going to influence the reconciliation, the healing, the reconstruction process.
The reason why I came here today was because I thought it would be able to help me to be able to tell my story.
D. Dix.
So all I want to do now is like cry, and it angers me because I'm not in control of my crying.
The one big and major weakness of the Truth Commission has been this process of storytelling and the traumatic effect of that.
Faisal Rendera.
Now, we started off by saying that we don't want to re-victimize the victim.
Sir,
do you know how deep this wound is?
Namhlanje difumana ukuba phambi kwe commission.
Kolisile Maroti.
While I'm standing here in front of this commission,
is phakathi kwam nenkosikazi.
The wound that the two of us have, myself and my wife,
ibe nokusinyanga.
If this commission can try and heal that wound. My wife has a big lump in her throat because of the death of her son.
But perhaps where we haven't been successful is that once those stories were told, what happened afterwards? And I suppose if there's one big regret for me, it's that one.
The other is that by and large, the white community has not recognized that here was the one most generous opportunity of coming to terms with the past where they were the beneficiaries of one of the most awful systems. And that is a great pain.
I think that this TRC is a complete shambles.
Radio listener.
All they've done is crucify all the people in the apartheid regime and all the atrocities perpetrated against the innocent civilians of this country by the ANC have been overlooked. The whole thing is a farce and it should be thrown out.
I say this as a white South African, and that is the failure to incorporate the majority of white South Africans.
Wendy Orr.
I think our focus was primarily, and I believe this is quite appropriate, on victims, and by the nature of the struggle, the majority of victims are black. So the very way in which we started out could have been interpreted as alienating white people. There was also this whole issue of guilt, and I think a lot of people...
Ons as jong Afrikaners word groot tussen twee strydende geslagte.
Jannie Du Plessis.
Ons word betrek by argumente.
As young Afrikaners, we are growing up between two conflicting generations. The stinging attack we are currently experiencing is very negative and definitely not in the interest of reconciliation.
There was also this whole issue of guilt, and I think a lot of people didn't become involved because they found the issues just too difficult to face up to. And I remember talking very early on about a way of reinterpreting what was happening on an almost weekly basis for white South Africa, and we never did it.
Also, I think that the commission was formed in a hurry. It had to make quick decisions about how it would work. And there are many things which now, with hindsight, we could look back on and see how we could have done better, trying really to grapple with the concept of the definition of severe ill treatment.
And at night, that particular night, they came and woke us up and they switched off the lights and said we should lie on our stomachs.
Joyce Marubini.
They started assaulting us with shamboks, and at the time we were dressed. And they started assaulting us on our buttocks up till such time that our panties were torn and our undergarments were exposed.
In many ways, it would have been much easier if we hadn't had that as a category. It would have meant that we could devote much more attention to the tortures and the killings that are such clear, gross human rights violations.
The biggest failure, in my view, has been the fact that we were too modest in the way in which we approached investigations.
Dumisa Nsebeza.
And I regret it, because I must, in the end, accept final accountability for the investigative unit.
I think that the commission could have been much more hard-nosed about accessing information.
Yasmin Suka.
This is where I am going to be critical of the former head of the investigations.
And you're referring to Glenn Hoerson?
Yes. I think he signed an agreement which should never have been signed, because at the end of the day, the commission was given the power by Parliament to access all documentation. And he allowed the military to, in fact, give us a runaround, you know, allow them to put in place a nodal point, which actually subverted the process. And I think that has compromised us. And I think that you will probably need more investigation after this commission is over, because there's been a serious lack of cooperation from the military.
I also regret the non-attention that the investigative unit paid to atrocities in the Eastern Cape. I don't know if our investigative, the final report will reflect some of the things that I know ought to be reflected there. The role of military intelligence. I mean, we never even investigated them. We had some people who, on their own admission, were part of the old order military establishment. Harry Yuko, for instance, is a case in point.
I was coordinator of certain operations where human rights abuses took place. I didn't physically get involved with the human rights abuses. The flip side of the coin is I didn't physically try and stop it. People were abducted, people were tortured, that I know about. Even an abduction is a gross human rights violation. So of course I'll have to apply a name, and I will. apply for amnesty in that regard.
And as a consequence, we have nothing on Hama. And everybody who knows anything about atrocities in this country will know that Hama was very much part of the Eastern Cape, and nothing has ever been done on that. So I failed this commission dismally at that level.
I think that there are various drawbacks and there are various weaknesses in the process. I think the one is that perhaps it has been unrealistic to have placed the commission in a position where it has to do such an important job and has to cover such a large chunk of our history in such a limited period of time. And I think that is one of the big problems.